This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
To the Row One Seat One podcast. This is Ben, aka Boston Nuga. Man, we got a show for you today. I got the hood foot on. Mo Atlas, one of my favorite people, one of my favorite wrestlers, one of just the genuine good guys in professional wrestling. I'll be honest, this show is a little tough to piece together because it took about 17 takes, but man, we got it. I tried to do some editing. This was a very good exercise in editing, and I hope you guys like what you hear. If it's a little rough around the edges, I apologize, but Mama tried. We'll bring Hoodfoot on in a second, but I just want to say I appreciate you guys sticking by the show. I know it's been a little while since I've had a show, but thank you guys for sticking by me, and I'm going to try to bring some more shows in the coming few weeks or so. All right, without further ado, the Hoodfoot.
I'm here with my dear, close personal, longtime friend, one of my favorite forces of nature in professional wrestling, just one of the genuine guys, and just one hell of a wrestler, Mo Atlas, the Hoodfoot. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on.
You've been a friend for a while here, and I've just been really excited to get you on, and you've had an exciting and eventful couple weeks. So it's so we're just really happy to have you here, and we'll just kind of through your career here a little bit, how Mo became the Hoodfoot, and what you've been doing lately. When did you fall in love with wrestling? What's your backstory, man?
So my first time watching wrestling and knowing I wanted to be a wrestler was it had to be my dad bought this WrestleMania X17 DVD for Valentine's Day.
Cool. And nothing says love like that, brother.
yeah. And now, look, I was a fan of wrestling before that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a gift of like, hey, I know you like wrestling, and I saw this, I figured I'd pick it up, right? I don't think he understood how much that DVD changed my entire life.
Well, that show was like one of the best shows of all time, too.
One of the best shows you could have. Like, yo. So the Perry Saturn, the Test and Edge, not Test and Edge.
All right, so you were talking about WrestleMania X7 and how your dad.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that, kind of like changed the landscape of so much of wrestling. Like, and just myself personally, it was one of those shows that I just saw and I was like, man, this is what I want to do, you know, from the hardcore triple threat. I had to be somewhere around maybe 9, 10.
Oh, so you 10 were prime, or 11. Age. Prime age.
Yeah, prime, look, prime in it. Like WrestleMania 2000 video game, WCW NWO video game. I was already locked into wrestling. Like, it was like a cool thing to watch. But WrestleMania X17 was the show that I wanted to be a wrestler on. I distinctly remember watching that show and going, this is what I want to do.
So who did you want to emulate? Like, you know, cause you're, I can imagine you've always probably been a big dude, like, you know, probably like, you know, Rey Mysterio might not have been your bag, or was he, you know, like who are your guys?
So mine are kind of unconventional because I didn't have cable growing up. So sure. I couldn't like watch The Rock or Undertaker, right? Like my guys that I like growing up, I imitated was like D'Lo Brown, Godfather, Test. Like I remember doing the Test elbow, like, and on my mom's couch. Like I stand up on the armrest and jump backwards and hit an elbow drop.
Your first wrestler I would talk to said they want to imitate Test, and I fucking love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, yo.
Fucking love it.
I had no cable, man, so, like, I saw guys on Heat and, like, later on, Velocity, you know, like, if you remember Saturday Night Jacked, Shotgun, stuff like that. That was my wrestling experience growing up.
And have you ever met D'Lo, by the way?
Yes, D'Lo. D'Lo, I used to do the lowdown so much. There's an old video of me actually training, and I hit the lowdown. It's the only time I've ever hit it, ever.
Do you want a good D'Lo story?
If I can find it, I'll share it.
Do you want a good D'Lo story?
Yeah, shoot.
Like, so I have a story for you. I have a story for you about D'Lo Brown. So I'm at Black Label Pro, and D'Lo is a featured guest at Black Label Pro. And Mikey Blanton is a friend of mine, and he goes, I need you to drive D'Lo to his hotel. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I will. Yeah, definitely. Are you kidding me? So I drive D'Lo and C.W. Anderson to the hotel, and there's a Hooters right next door to the hotel. If you've ever been up in Black Label where Mikey keeps the wrestlers, Hooters right next door. So D'Lo's like, go to the Hooters. I want to go, you know, I want to get some food in me. I want to have a drink or whatever. It was like 12:30, and the Hooters closed at 1, right? So, like, and then Joey Janela was just sitting up front. So we, like, basically, like, we just, like, grabbed Janela. And then D'Lo and C.W. Anderson spend the whole time just talking about Japan and telling stories about Japan. And me and Janela are, like, jaws open on the floor. Like, this is the coolest thing we've ever heard. But the Hooters closed at 1. But D'Lo was going to eat his crab legs and drink his beer. So, like, all the employees of the Hooters were waiting by the door for, like, the last 45 minutes after closing because D'Lo was going to finish his damn crab legs. And it was the coolest damn thing I've ever seen in my life. It was best.
He's like, yo, listen, I'm finishing these crab legs. Shit. Like, I'm not gonna pack it up and take it to the hotel.
Nope. Like, I wanna
eat these here in peace and then go to the hotel and lay down.
And he just him and CW Anderson just ripping on Japan, and we're like telling stories about, you know, working Noah and stuff like that, and I'm just sitting there like, this is the fucking coolest moment of my life.
That's fucking dope.
He's a dope dude. He's like the best human being you've ever met.
Like, you speak of Noah, and Noah is the second part of my falling in love with wrestling, because, like, I discovered Noah, All Japan, and, like, independent wrestling within the same month time span. You know?
That's like a sugar rush.
Yeah. It's because I blame LimeWire and YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where all the tape traders started throwing up all their, like, all the old matches from All Japan, and Noah used to put up the navigation tours up there. So you could watch a whole navigation tour. You know,
that was prime to Noah too.
Yeah. Man, I'm talking about, I was in heaven. I was like a pig and shit, man.
Noah was your thing growing up, and did you gravitate more towards Japanese wrestling or American wrestling as you discovered Japanese wrestling? Were you just like, I want to be more like Misawa, or I want to be more like D'Lo Brown? Because there's a gulf there.
Funny enough, like, it came along right when, like, my interest in WWE was waning, and I was like, I've always been kind of like a shark in a way of, like, I have to keep moving forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's nothing new for me to, like, venture into, right, I have to, I need to go forward and find, I need to go deeper. So that's why I started, like, getting online, trying to find other wrestling, you know, that wasn't on television that I could see. And that led to the Japanese wrestling, which I was like, yo, this is extremely my shit. You know what I'm saying? I was like, this is my shit. And I got really deep into that. I got really deep into early 2000 independent ROH pro wrestling.
That was my shit.
Yeah. Like, I remember knowing people from the, like, SoCal scene. Like, motherfuckers don't even mention them anymore, but Ronin. Like,
yeah.
I remember, like watching matches from him, from Revolution Pro. Right? Like, people don't even mention him, but I remember watching him. I remember watching Scorpio Sky when he had the mask on. Like,
love it.
Like, man.
That dude's been around forever, by the way, too. That dude's been working forever.
Yes. Him and Gocho Ozaki might be, they might have been wrestling for, like, my entire, like, teenage adolescence till now, which is insane.
So, okay, so getting personal, like, you mentioned your dad is for you, and we mentioned your dad, and they were like, for me, wrestling was the thing I bonded with my dad over. Was it the same for you, or, like, you know, did it get you, like, close to your father, or, like, you know, how, like, did it strengthen your relationship with your dad, like, kind of bonding over wrestling?
Not really. So, okay, my dad kind of knew, he was like, hey, like, he kind of, liked wrestling a little bit, but it wasn't something, like, he just straight up loved.
So dad was kind of into wrestling, but,
He wasn't like
friends who were like really into wrestling. Were you doing this on your own? Or like, you know?
Oh no! So I had friends. We were ingrained in wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like we would do it. Like we would wrestle in the backyard after school, all that stuff. Right now, like when it got towards high school, I was kind of like more of a lone wolf with wrestling because of how deep I got into it. You know. Like, I'm watching, like, classic, you know, All Japan tapes. And they're like, man, did you see Raw last night? I'm like, I don't have time for fucking Raw. Like, yo, I'm watching Kobayashi right now. Calm the fuck down. Right? Like, I'm like, yo, did you fucking know, like, Kawada fucking actually invented the Hangman DDT? It's actually called the Gonzo Bomb. Dog, like, this is thing called NWA Wildside. You gotta see this shit.
Shit, you were insane. In the Wild Side?
Dude, Wild Side. Fuck, because I was like, it was around the same time Impact was coming to prevalence. So I was like, man, who are some of these cats that's on this show? Like, AJ Styles immediately caught my attention because, like, yo, he's doing things I've never seen him do before, like a person do before.
He was such a revelation.
Yeah. Like, cats like Tank. Like, I never, like, between him and Samoa Joe, I never seen a big dude move that way. And that, like, that was also something that, like, really stuck with me. I was like, I don't have to be, you know, 160 pounds. You know, I can still be a big motherfucker and do shit.
It's more impactful, athlete. Too.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I love about watching you wrestle is that shit matters.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I take a lot from, like, Samoa Joe, Eddie Kingston, you know? Like, a lot of what I do is influenced by them, which is also in turn influenced by the All Japan guys they watch as well. Mm-hmm. You know?
Lineage.
Yeah, it's kind of like a lineage, you know? It's kind of like how Davey Richards was definitely influenced by like Dynamite Kid, you know.
Oh yeah,
you can tell in his style.
That's really apt actually with Davey. Yeah.
Like I want my style to be my style.
Cool. So yeah, Davey Richards is a big Dynamite Kid guy. You mentioned I could see Samoa Joe in your game most definitely. How old were you when you decided to actually train?
So I was actually 27. So fun story. I was like 18. I wanted to go to this school to go train when I was back home in Chicago. My dad's like, no, you go get an education, do this. So I took the real long road around. And like, it's funny how things work out because I ended up working with a wrestler who introduced me to my original trainer. And so I started training when I was 27.
Oh, that's cool, though.
Yeah.
You actually had life under your belt.
Yeah, which, you know what? I attribute to, like, kind of being level-headed. Mm-hmm. If I was, like, if I was back when I was 18, I was full of piss and vinegar. So, like, it was... I probably would have been burned out by the time like 2020 rolled around.
So what year did you start?
I formally started wrestling 2017.
Oh shit, okay.
About, what is it, 4 years now?
Yeah.
About 4 years, like, I started traveling with Bomb Shelter, Randy West, Joseph Schwartz, the Hybrid Beast Zodiac. I literally traveled with them for a full year. Every weekend.
That's like being in the fucking carnival, man.
Exactly.
That's a fun group, man.
Yeah. 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 Oh, and I forget. How could I forget? Satu Jin was also in the car as well.
Satu Jin was in the car too. Yeah.
Like, I remember one trip we drove 33 hours to California to go out. Yeah. I believe we did Hood Slam, and we did one more show. I cannot remember his name. Virgil Flynn. I believe that's his name. He's passed, but he was a good dude, man. And he's super warm and welcoming, you know, like, most of the people I came across early on, you know, were always very receptive and understanding. They're like, hey, listen, you know, I don't have a spot. And nothing was promised in the car. When I first started, there was no.
So, yeah, you ride around with Satu Jin, who was a deathmatch. I guess I'd call him a legend at this point. That dude's the man. He's getting up there. He's definitely on the scene.
Yeah. Like, right around him, Randy West, Joseph Schwartz, Zodiac. And, man, we were, I was green as shit. And nothing was promised every time I got in the car. You know, it was just always, it's always a welcoming environment. You know, I'll never forget one of the first times I ran to, Kerry Awful. You know, I just happened to be there for the seminar, Bob Evans. Mm-hmm. And, like, just off pure work ethic, you know, Kerry's like, yo, like, you're their kid. You put in some work. You worked your ass off in that fucking seminar. You know, like, I could work with you. And that was my very first recurring booking. Like, Kerry gave me that first recurring booking I can ever remember. It was Pro Wrestling Freedom.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. UWF. And he was the first one to give me a actual job where I would show up every week. You know,
Kerry is,
I believe that's
one of my favorite people.
Met Graham too.
Yeah.
Or Merck now. Mm-hmm. That's where I first met Graham. It was at that Bob Evans seminar.
Bob's awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that rules. And Kerry is one of my closest friends. I love that. I love Kerry so much. He's just he has so much knowledge to give.
Yeah, he's a fountain of knowledge. You know, like, I look at guys like Heater, and where Heater's at now, like, it's all due to good work ethic and, like, listening to Kerry's mind work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could tell it rubs off on Heater, you know. And the same way with pretty much most of the guys in Tennessee who came up under Kerry. They all have great brains for fucking wrestling. You know, just talking shop with them is a fucking pleasure.
So you mentioned how Tennessee is a very fertile place for wrestling, but you are in possibly the most fertile place for wrestling, in my opinion. Some of these guys you came up with, you know, among the Lost Boys, among Indy, and, you know, so some of the Indianapolis, in my opinion, might be the most fertile place for wrestlers in the country. Would you agree?
I would. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I have a very biased take on it, but I do believe, like, the Indianapolis scene, right, is conducive. And not just for my generation. We're also talking about, like, Ace Perry, Dale Patrick, you know, Josh Crane. Like, These are guys who, like, were getting out and getting this shit early on. And, like, there used to be a thing about, like, Indianapolis cars. You know, you get an Indianapolis carload, you might get two fucking cars coming out, you know? And it was never in, like, they never brought slouches. It was something that we could hang our hat on. That, like, we would come out, if we were coming to your show, if you got Indianapolis guys on your show, you know you're going to get fucking workhorses. You know you're going to get matches. You know you're going to fucking, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure your show was successful and entertaining.
I remember going to Indy a couple times for promotions no longer around anymore, but just being in awe of the local talent and just how hungry you guys were.
Yeah, and like everybody here also has a pride in their in the scene. You know, there's a pride to being like, yo, you come out of Indianapolis. You know, you got guys like Braden, you know, who is like by all means is like a superstar. Like he has the tools to be a superstar, and the pride that he has, you know, to be an Indianapolis guy is high. You know, Mance, you know, like there was some an unfortunate incident. I don't know all the details. I do know that
he broke right his now, ankle. Yeah.
Yeah, he broke his ankle. He's on the shelf right now. But, you know, he's another dude from Indy who really like helped nurture a lot of us coming up. Cause like, yo, we didn't know shit. He was like the first dude we knew that like traveled. I knew Tankman traveled with him a lot.
So in Indianapolis, you're kind of part of a crew called the Lost Boys. Talk to me about the Lost Boys, what that means, you know, in the ring and out of the ring, and, you know, how you guys have.
So what it really means is that, like, even if you may not have a direct home for wrestling, because the weirdest thing about us is most of us, We either didn't belong, we didn't fit in with our training area, or we got kicked out. like the trainers didn't, like, they didn't see the value in having us. But we all don't actually, originate from Indiana or Indianapolis. You know, I'm from Chicago. Chase is from California. Bradley, he's from St. Louis. Slade, he's from Minnesota. You know, I'm sorry, I believe Milwaukee. I misspoke on that one.
That's right, yeah.
But like, we all found a home in Indianapolis. You know, it's kind of like, we kind of view Indy as like, it was like our little island that we came to. And we kind of grew up and matured here. That's what really the Lost Boys is like, if you don't have a home, wrestling can be your home.
I like that a lot. And you got some fucking characters in there too.
Yeah.
Y'all are all the funniest dudes I know.
Like, it's really just like, just friends hanging out and shooting the shit a lot of times. A lot of it is just us sharing, like, going out doing our bits that we do in the car.
Okay, so you got a great group of guys you're training with in Indianapolis. You got a great scene. You got some homes that are like Paradise Pro Wrestling, which is a wonderful little promotion, and they do some really neat things. One place I noticed really expanded your horizons was doing Paradigm Pro Wrestling's UWFI rules. Talk to me about, you know, people who might not be familiar with UWFI and their rules and how you fit in with that. Talk about how the whole scene with Paradigm there.
So UWFI is shoot style, basically. Mm-hmm. It is basically the purest form of this sport. So, like, you get people who come from pure wrestling backgrounds, guys who came from mat wrestling backgrounds, jiu-jitsu. Like, myself, I I have a bit of a mat wrestling background, but also like street fighting, things like
so
that.
You just feel good at fucking people up, no?
Yeah, basically. I've been fighting a good portion of my life. So when they're like, yeah, this is basically you just fight. I was like, oh, I could do that. it's really helped me develop a lot more of my game. Keep kind of making me a little bit more like of a well-rounded wrestler.
Oh yeah, because you got to do, you know, you can't fall into comfort zones and something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about development. Like, what is Hood Foot? Explain Hood Foot in 60 seconds. Explain what a Hood Foot is.
Hood Foot is 100% who I am. Mm-hmm. It is everything I believe in, everything I hold true to myself. You know, being hood is not just about where you're from. It's also about loving where you're from and helping those who are there come up as well. You know, the old adage is like, yo, like don't leave the hood and forget about them. You know, the idea is to always turn back around and reach a hand out and help another person out, help another bro. You're fast.
You mentioned being from the hood is about, you know, not turning your back on anybody there. Like, how does that represent you? Are you still close to your original roots? You know, what does hood mean for you?
It is, I'm still close to my roots. I'm still close to my roots in Indianapolis, man. Hmm. For people who don't know, like, I was homeless, for a good minute. And every now and again, I go back to the shelter. You know, I volunteer, you know, I help give out soup there, you know, or meals at, you know, like, that's part of being Hoodfoot. It's just not a character of like, oh, look at me, I'm a badass. You know, that's only one side of it. The other side is actually like helping your fellow man, and showing them exactly like, yo, I haven't forgot about you. You know, like this isn't a drop my gun and run when shit gets hard. We're going
that.
Fucking, like, the idea is, like, you're both going to make it the fuck out of here.
I love that. I absolutely love that. So, like, in wrestling, how are you giving back as well? Because you're, like, you're starting to get a little success now. Are you taking kids under your wing and, like, showing them the right ropes and stuff like that?
Like, I don't think I'm far enough along to be like, yeah, I'm getting kids. But if I see somebody who's like, hey, man, I just want to help. I just want to get out there as well. I'm like, all right, hell yeah. Let's go. Like, I can see if I can point you in the right direction or if you're willing to roll. Like, hey, let's go. One of those cats is like Merrick Donovan. You know, for a good minute, he was asking for help, whatnot, to get like to start breaking out of Florida. And I was kind of pointing them here in the right direction. And then after the SCI Futures three-way I had with him and Martyr, I was just like, bro, if you need anything, I got you. It was like seeing cats like Trey Shaw, who's just like, man, I want another opportunity outside of it. And telling the Paradigm Bookers, like, yo, I think this kid's hungry enough to get it.
I'm going to talk about Jordan. I love that dude. So yeah. Indianapolis also has Mr. Utility Knife, Mr. Biggest cheerleader on the planet for wrestling in general, but especially Indianapolis wrestling. That is one Jordan Rose. Tell me about your relationship with Jordan, because I love that human being more than life itself. Jordan is just such a gem.
Jordan, he is also a product of our training school. He was breaking into doing like audio video for us as well, like when everybody was coming up. So legitimately, he basically came up with our generation of independent independent wrestling here in the scene. So like he grew up, he came up with like Tank, Levi, myself, Chase, Brad, all of the Lost Boys, Miles. He's seen us all grow. Cole, Sean, all of us, you know, and to see him develop into what he is now is so heartwarming, right? Because he was also another guy that people kind of just wrote off like, oh, you know, there's a dime a dozen audio video guys, you know, what difference can you make to professional wrestling?
He's and different, he was like, man.
Yes, he's a different type of cat. He like his work ethic alone.
Oh my God.
He can work harder than 17 grown men.
Yeah, he's the hardest working man in this showbiz, and followed closely, if not tied, with all the indie guys. Because you guys are the ones that are traveling. You guys are the ones that are everywhere. Every show I go to, there's a car of indie guys. And I live in fucking Chattanooga, Tennessee. So like that is a testament to like how.
Go ahead. It was one of those things it was kind of people getting kind of used to seeing like. If you saw one of us, chances are there was like seven of us around. I'll never forget. There was Billy's debut at Black Label. Like you could see in the video that there was just a wall of Indianapolis guys.
I think I was there for that. I was so happy to see you guys too.
Yeah, because I believe it was my. I want to say. I don't know if Slade was with us.
And that's the cool thing about you guys too. You all support each other, and you're all like you're each other's biggest cheerleaders too. And like you know, Billy's debut, you know there was a whole wall of indie guys. And, you know, I mean, like you guys seem to root each other on.
Yeah, it's the adage of we all gonna make it.
Like, well, one guy who's kind of making it. And, you know, you mentioned him before, but Calvin Tankman, that's a dude.
That's a whole ass dude.
And he is on television now on MLW on Vice TV, just making it.
Yes.
And I am beyond proud of him because he's a great guy. But, like, do you kind of see that as a path? For, like, you know, you kind of see that as the roadmap for you?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
Yeah, because here's your friend. Here's someone you came up with, and he's you know starting to break out. And there's you know probably going to be even more indie guys and even more indie guys. Yeah. You know starting to break out. And that's you know he's like, the first one to path basically from that.
Hell, like, recently, and like I said before, like you know Myron, like
yeah, Myron
used
too,
to
yeah.
come up to Indianapolis all the time to wrestle. You know, like. Same thing with Beef. Like Beef just got signed as of today. Like he just got signed to MLW. So like the Indianapolis scene is a very strange scene because we are truly the crossroads because Beef used to come up to Indianapolis, you know, and make stops and wrestle like on a Friday, on an odd Friday here, you know, same thing with Myron, you know. And it's refreshing to see people, you know, all up and down 65, make it in the business.
And they notice them making it and then they see you work.
Exactly.
And they're like, damn, okay, there's more talent here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I can guarantee you, like, there's a bunch of talent in Indianapolis that's, yo, listen, just give us the ball.
So you're taking a little bit of a different path recently, and I want you to get into this whole hog. You've decided to start doing death matches. That's certainly a choice. What was your motivation? What are you getting out of it? What's why is Hoodfoot doing death matches? I think a lot of people saying.
So first and foremost, my trainer, Randy West, she is pretty much no lesson sense of the word is a death match lesson, right?
Yeah.
Queen of the death matches, you know, she's competed in King, all that good stuff, right? I believe she just won, what is it? The Queen of, Jesus Christ. I get hit in the head a lot, so I forget a lot of things. but she just went out west to win a championship, to win a tournament, you know.
And the toughest lady you've ever met in your life, by the way.
The toughest woman that she would run you into the ground. when we were training, she could run you into the ground. But, I always wanted to do deathmatch wrestling, because I always liked hardcore wrestling growing up as well. You know, I grew up in that era of the 24/7 hardcore championship, ECW, you know, it was always a style that I was allured to. And when I brought it up early on, she told me, well, wait, get some more reps underneath you. Figure out what you want to do. And if you want to do deathmatch wrestling, once you get things down, then by all means. And when it was brought up to me, when my first deathmatch was, presented to me, I went to her, I talked to her about it. She said, are you sure? I was like, yeah. She was like, all right then.
Who was your first deathmatch against?
My first actual deathmatch. And it's very strange. So my first actual death match was against Casanova. It was a no ring death match, but that wasn't the first one booked. The first one booked was against Josh Crane.
Oh shit.
For that Indianapolis show.
So you worked Casanova Valentine. You were supposed to work Josh Crane. I've seen you work Pondo.
Yeah.
There's a lot of death match. I mean, if you know, if you're in Indiana, you can, you know, throw a rock and hit some deathmatch stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. But actually what happened was, so the first match booked, first deathmatch I had booked was against Josh Crane. And the way the dates worked out when I took Casanova's booking was before the Josh Crane match.
Sure.
So basically, that was first, and then it was Josh Crane was second. And then from that point, I kind of was just like, all right, I want to go full tilt.
So what is it about, getting hit with a light tube, getting hit with gusset plates, getting hit with, you know, bleeding out, basically? Is it, an adrenaline rush for you, or is it, a masochist thing? What is it? Because, that's the any, you know, I ain't doing that on a Tuesday, you know? So what is the appeal to you?
Just storytelling, man. It's so I believe deathmatch wrestling is just another form of storytelling in wrestling, right? And it just so happens to have, you know, light tubes and glass involved, you know. Of course you can see some hack and slash, but I believe some of the best deathmatch wrestling in the world, you know, like Alex Colon, Drew Parker, right? Jimmy Lloyd, Marcus Crane. These guys, they can tell you an effective story, right? While also using light tubes.
That definitely, when deathmatch is good, it's very, very good. When deathmatch is bad, it's very, very bad.
Yeah. And, I believe same could be said for
wrestling too. Yeah,
wrestling. Mm-hmm. Wrestling is like pizza, right? When you get hot pizza, it's really good, right? When you get cold pizza, you'll still eat it.
So, what is the wildest thing that you saw there at Carnage Cup? Because there was some wild. I saw gifts of people going off roofs. I saw possibly, allegedly, a guy getting his finger cut off.
Yeah.
What is the craziest thing that you saw there?
So, Man, there's a list of things. Like, yo, the very first match, guy broke his ankle. And I was like, oh, shit, this is where we're at right now. And then, like, first night, guy gets his finger cut off. And I was like, well, shit, I guess we're done. but it got even crazier the second day.
Crazier than that.
Because, so there was a gauntlet, that I was part of, and one of the participants was on top of the U-Haul, and like, they had a fear of heights or whatever, got down, and then had a seizure.
Jesus. And
so yeah. And instead of stopping the show, like wholeheartedly, like, oh yeah. It was just like, yeah, keep going. And they tended to him while the match is still going. And he's just eliminated from the gauntlet.
On account of a seizure.
Yeah. Yeah, they figured it out, and he ended up, apparently it was a panic attack or whatever, from the height. But then the main event, Remington Roar, who is a good friend of mine, he's the one that contacted me. He took a DVD off the top of the pavilion through ungodly amount of light tubes. And man, his arm, once he got up, he's in the back. And I'm like, dude, I don't know if that's muscle, but it's pulsing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, so you've definitely seen some stuff in your 4 years in wrestling, both good and bad. What is in the future for Hoodfoot? What do you have coming up? What things are you really proud to be? You know, what are your goals and what are you looking forward to in the near future?
So some announcements in the future. Obviously, here this weekend I'll be in New Jersey. I'll be part of a team. The Hoosiers, myself, Ace Perry, Braden, with the captain of Cole Radrick, wrestling in a Survivor Series style tournament.
Series of Survivors. They try to get around that one.
For JCW.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I have another deathmatch show right now. It's a bit of a secret location style deal. But then after that, I have my match with Cruel at ICW in Tennessee.
In my hometown, brother.
Yeah. In the pit.
In the pit. I'm so excited about this. I'm talking about, you know what that date, right?
You say what now?
That date is my birthday, brother.
Really?
That's my birthday.
Well, hell yeah.
It's my whole birthday weekend right there. Two shows in Tennessee. Again. It's going to be a party. Show you where we can do karaoke.
Yeah. I'll get cleaned up. But for a little bit of a more of a longer term goal, I want to go to Japan.
Nice.
That's always been on my list. That's something I've always wanted to do. I don't want to knock it out per se. I want this to be my career. So I don't look at Japan as like a destination. I look at it as a place to go and, have gainful employment.
So you're busy for the next few months. It looks like, but if people want to book you, if people just want to hang out with the Hoodfoot, which I would highly advise because you're fun as shit. how can people get in touch with you and, how can people book you?
Okay. To get in touch with me, obviously my social media, which is Hoodfoot418 for Twitter and Instagram. I have a like page on Facebook, which is Hoodfoot Mo Atlas. I receive DMs there. They're open. My email is hoodlum, that's HDLUM, coast@gmail.com. I am taking 2022 booking inquiries right now. And for all other social, like for any merchandising, My links are always in my bio. I have a Brainbuster Tees account. Be on the lookout. I do have a shirt dropping here in probably the next month. It'll be another shirt release dropping.
Your merch game is solid, by the way.
I try to keep it up, man. I have a focus on, like, I growing up, wrestling shirts kind of sucked. And it was harder to wear a wrestling shirt in high school because wrestling started becoming uncool, per se, right? And I was like, man, why don't they make wrestling shirts look cool? So, like, I took it up on myself to start making wrestling shirts look cool.
Yeah, your stuff looks great. Well, I would highly suggest booking Hoodfoot. You should book Hoodfoot if you're listening to this show. You should see some of Hoodfoot's stuff. And thank you, man. I appreciate it. You're a great friend. You're a hell of a wrestler, and you're a great guy, man. And just appreciate your patience with this, and just thank you so much, man.
Hey, right, no problem, man. Anytime.
We'll be back with the.
Hit me up. I was like, yeah, no problem.
We'll be back with the ad read in a minute.
All right.
On the Place to Be Nation, check out the Place to Be Nation Network store. Show off your favorite podcasts on logos on great merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Go to tpublic.com, type in PTBW in the search. Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. Check out our quad of pods, my God. PTB Pop Experience is all about pop culture. Jennifer Smith is in the Jenny position with her unique takes on pop culture and life. JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell are here for great shows and wrestling, comics, and more with the North-South Connection feed. And Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast. Go to nontoxicfanboys.com. Join our Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture. Our stretch project this year is the greatest NWA WCW wrestler of all time. Go to facebook.com/GWCW. Check out PlaceToBeNation.com every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. And if you do an online shopping, go to PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon. Takes you right to Amazon and helps us out with no cost to you. Man, that was an experience. Thank you guys for listening.